The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are A.J. Taylor with KIOW Forest City and Jake Bourgeois with the Dyersville Commercial. A.J., can you start us off with a question for Senator Grassley?
Sir, thank you much for allowing the time here. You're looking at reintroducing some bipartisan legislation for E15 sales. How is the progress on that going right now?
Pretty darn slow, mostly because the Senate is the first few months going to be tied up with a lot of confirmation, not dealing with a lot of legislation. Also, and I haven't figured this out yet, but you know, most ethanol legislation runs up against opposition from the oil companies. The oil companies should support this because E15 year-round nationwide will relieve them of the trouble they have of mixing summer gasoline two ways. One for the 42 states that don't have E15 year-round, and the 8 states that do have it because of Governor Reynolds and other governors wanting E15 in those eight states around. And so it would make things much simpler for them. I can't ascertain exactly where the oil industry is coming from on this legislation, but it needs to be done. And I think we're going to have the president do it on a year-to-year basis, as has been done since the last year of his first term. And then Biden did it by executive action, and Trump will probably do the same thing. And Trump has asked the EPA to look into it year-round nationwide. And if he could do it by executive order, I would suggest he do that. Jake at Dyersville.
You mentioned going through the confirmation process. A couple things. I know the federal workforce cuts have obviously been a big conversation piece over the last few weeks. Does that sort of affect the speed at which you can move through your regular business at all? Is there anything as these cuts are going on that you're sort of monitoring in your roles in these various committees?
Well, as far as speed is concerned, I can answer that question very easily. And then I'm going to ask you to repeat the second part of it. But we're getting, as of last week, about 12 or 15 approved. And that's much faster than it was done in 2017 or 2021. The second part of your question, or the first part of your question?
As these cuts are going on in your in these various committees, is there anything specifically in any of your roles that you're sort of monitoring as these cuts are going on or keeping an eye on?
Well, that's an executive branch decision. We don't hire and fire only employees of the legislative branch. So, you know, we can be looking at it, we can complain about it, et cetera, but it's a presidential decision. And of course, we're going to be watching it. But I think people that have had a government job figures a government job has a lot of safety in it. And being laid off is very traumatic, both from a social and an economic standpoint. It's hard on families. And I know twice when I was laid off at Universal Hoist in Cedar Falls in 1959 and 1960, and then again when I was working at another plant called Waterloo Register in Cedar Falls, we made furnace registers. And I was working on the assembly line, and I was laid off when that plant closed down. So it's not easy for families to be laid off, and particularly when you're working for the federal government and you think it's a lifetime job. AJ?
We've seen a blizzard of executive orders coming out of the Oval Office here as of late. Do you think that some of these orders would be converted then into possible legislation to make them permanent so that they don't get overturned by a future administration somewhere along the line?
Well, I think there's some will be trying. I don't have anything in mind right now, But this E-15 is one example. It's not as highly visible as a lot of the things that President Trump's doing. But as if it's done annually since 20 by both a Republican and a Democrat president, and it continues, it can be overturned and undone as easily as it's done. So I would hope that we could make E-15 law so it couldn't be changed at all. Jake?
Along with the executive orders and the new DOGE committee, as far as the role of Elon Musk has at the moment, do you have any concerns as far as privacy, as far as the access to any certain information or any sort of conflict of interest when it comes to his business dealings, how those may conflict? Any concerns you keeping an eye on as regards to his role at the moment?
Yeah, well, let me tell you how I look at it, and I've been reading and hearing the same thing you have. And let's just look at the IRS, because that's where privacy and the Social Security system is, where privacy is most respected and ought to be respected. But I said, just think, if somebody with DOGE looked at Chuck Grassley's income tax, what would I care if the whole world knew it, except I don't want the whole world to know it, but what would be the effect if they did know it? And I just don't know, when you've got 130 million taxpayers and people are looking at the systems, and I don't think they're interested in individual taxes, and they're doing it trying to make sure they save taxpayers money. And one thing they need to do in the IRS is, the computer system goes back to the 1960s and 70s. It just doesn't meet the needs of the 21st century. And one of the reasons they're doing it is try to upgrade the IT system. AJ?
Air accidents. We're seeing a number of them, one involving a military chopper. We've got a plane that turned over and caught on fire. Is this related in some way to what we're seeing with regards to the level or quality of air traffic controllers? Is this pilots? Is it a combination of the manufacturing of the planes? What do you see as one of the root causes that we're having so many accidents here as of late?
Too short of an answer for you, but human error. But I'll comment on some of the things you suggesting. I think we're going to have to wait maybe a couple months before we get the report. And some of these accidents, you got to wait a whole year to get an answer. And I don't think I can say any more than right now. But the one reason I said human error is that there's a suspicion that on the helicopter here at DC Airport, that there was a switch flipped that didn't receive a message then that came from FAA tower on, I don't know what the message would have said, but that they didn't get the message. Okay, Jake, you got the last question.
I think last time we were on, President Trump had just been making his initial comments about tariffs, and you were sort of in wait-and-see mode to see how things progressed as a negotiation tool. I know we're still in early days as far as this goes, but what's been your sense about how sort of the threat of tariffs has been used by this president as far as negotiations go with other countries?
Well, he said he, to some extent, people believe he's using it as a negotiating tool. By the way, this will be the last question. Use it as a negotiating tool. And you see, when he used it and threatened it against Mexico, Canada, and Colombia, it seems to work. At least it's going to work for 30 days that he held it in abeyance. But I want to make clear that I don't want to say I disagree with the president at this point, because I can't say until we find out how it always works out. But my record of being a free and fair trader and having that attitude for the last 50 years I would naturally think the president has a long approach, but he won an election. He was going to do something about unfair trade practices, and he's attempting to do it. So I'm going to hold judgment in abeyance and let's see if the president works. And if it works, I'm going to say congratulations. If it doesn't work, I'm going to say I told you so. But when it comes to having any worry about trade tariffs, I always see retaliation by various countries against American products, and it hurts Iowa products because we have to export so much of our agricultural stuff, and so you see tariffs put on in other countries against our agricultural products. I hope it doesn't happen, but it could happen. Thank you both very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks, AJ and Jay, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.